February 6, 2010, this is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh good, it's fucking distracting. Oh good, you fucking understand? Fucking kick your fucking ass. Don't you fucking understand? Fucking kick your fucking ass. Don't you fucking understand? Fucking kick your fucking ass. Don't you fucking understand? Give me a fucking answer.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut up if you can't take a joke.
You are flashing my scene.
It was quite a Pedro show. It was raining this morning. It's Saturday here in Pedro. Where are you going to tomorrow, Brother Matt?
Tomorrow, got like a little birthday Super Bowl combo festivities, which is going to be feasted on by Dreamland Barbecue, this bitchin' place down south. I got this big gift certificate, so gonna have a giant barbecue.
Some trough.
Throw down.
Super trough.
Who dat tomorrow?
Okay, because that's why we had to do it the day early.
Yeah, Saturday session.
We started with, this is John Coltrane doing Giant's steps, but it was a clam. Mm. Yeah, incomplete third take. And then did you get that flow yesterday I sent of that cat, Revolution?
Oh.
This guy from Missouri who remixed a Christian Bale rant.
Yeah, and the video link.
Yeah. So we played that.
Christian was a little upset.
Oh, that was great.
Don't you know about this? Because this was a Hollywood thing. Well, I think it was a Terminator.
Yeah, well, I don't mind.
A light man walked.
No, it wasn't a light man. Well, sort of a light man. He's the director of photography. And I hope he listens to this show because I fucking hate that guy.
Turn this mic in, Skipper Joe. Halfway. So
it was like this.
Yeah, there we go.
Like that? Is that going to work?
Yeah.
Hello, testing.
Yeah, so, but, the director of photography, his name is Shane Hurl, but. Sorry, Shane, but, man, you're a dick. You're a dick.
And Bale let him know that.
Yeah, man. And so when I first heard that rant, I was thinking,
you know,
well,
this
who's,
because
who's
of you working here? With this
well, I worked camera. In film for years. I worked as a lighting guy for over 20 years, and I used to work with that director of photography when he was a gaffer, chief lighting technician. So I used to work on his crew from time to time. Yeah. He was a nightmare, and he still is. And it's like, so Christian Bale, when I found out it was Shane getting yelled at, it made perfect sense. Anyone who knows Shane probably was going, fuck yeah, Christian, you know?
Yeah.
I loved it. Loved it.
Well, it made great lyrics, too.
Yeah. It actually harmonizes at points, harmonizing profanity.
Well, that's the... Lucian probably did that with some auto-tune. You don't know about this? They did it with Bill O'Reilly. There's software where you can make the cat go into...
In key.
Yeah.
Mashup tools.
Yeah, right. And there's something like... Right, Bill O'Reilly's doing some disco thing. Right?
He's got a beautiful singing voice.
Let's do it live or something, right? He's saying it over and over again. But, if it wasn't your mentor, Gary, would you still have supported Christian? You like actors letting you know where you stand?
If it wasn't that dude, I would have probably thought Christian was out of hand.
Okay.
Given the who he was pointed at made it okay.
Because I heard later he apologized.
Yeah, but I think that's just, you know, a professional protocol.
Okay.
I think he really feels, he said what he felt. And he in the rant he says, all right, we're finished professionally.
Yeah, that's what the hell he ends
with. They'll never work together again.
It is amazing. I'm sorry, but it won't take it back.
Amazing how long it was. Man.
Yeah, that's a, he pushed it. He went way over the top with it, you know.
He kept going and going.
Yeah, he went way over the top.
What was that movie like?
It was a piece of shit. Don't bother.
Now, it didn't have a, yeah, but wasn't the franchise the governor?
No, it was James Cameron, actually. He's the one who started the Terminator.
Yeah, but, like, the franchise guy
was, yeah, Arnold.
Right.
And, you know, there's
but
a...
But did he get killed off in the one before or something?
No, he made... There's a... And this was kind of baffling. It's like Arnold makes an appearance in the movie, but it seems like young Arnold. All
yeah,
bugged
like
out. Like
generation or something.
So I don't know if it's, like, an exact look-alike or if it's just some sort of computer graphic deal.
Oh.
I don't know what it was. But it's a really crappy movie, too. I'm not just saying that because I don't like the guy.
Yeah.
It was just it's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, big
like eye candy exploding.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have a director whose name is McGee.
Yeah.
You got to wonder. Right? Okay. I'm probably sinking any possibility of a further next film.
Some,
I don't care.
Some good commercials or something, right? Yeah. Isn't that what's required nowadays?
McGee.
And you won't have any take offense to... market testing of the endings.
Oh, yeah, that bothers me. It's always bothered me. And Bill Hicks does a great routine on that. It's like, you know, well, what is it with movie studios, movie executives? They, you know, they release a movie and, well, they don't release the movie. They're going to. But then they go to Middle America and they select 200 random morons as a cross-section of all of America. And based on the opinions of these fucking morons...
Yeah.
They changed the end of the movie.
That's how they know how to end the movie.
Unreal. So, apparently that works in marketing circles, but I'm not a big fan of the marketing.
But if you've been acquiesced yourself, rented out your rear end to make commercials, right?
Right.
Because you're, I mean, it's right, it's not about art, right?
Yeah.
Right at the beginning, you're going to sell a product.
Yeah.
So if you're kind of used to that, then you're not going to have a real problem with the...
Yeah.
Yeah, making a movie without an ending until, you know, Kmart shoppers.
Right.
Blue light special.
Well, and there's a few directors that have what's called final cut. And there's a short list where it's like whatever they deliver is what the studio has agreed to show. So Stanley Kubrick was a great example of that. They wouldn't touch Stanley's movies. It's like, Stanley, here's the money. We'll leave you alone. You deliver it whenever you're ready to deliver it. But he was like one of very few.
He
like,
delivered, too.
There was some kind of... controversy in that movie Brazil.
Oh yeah, Terry Gilliam.
He didn't get to have his ending.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess if you buy the DVD, you get the ending. His ending.
He's a great director.
Man, I love that movie. And when it came out, must have gone three times in the theaters to see that. It was so different, man.
Classic.
You know.
It made me cry.
Yeah.
They were in his fucking brain.
Oh yeah. That's awful shit.
You know, because of some fuck up, right? The wrong.
Yeah, the fly. Some guy killed a fly in the wall and it fell in the typewriter while the typewriter was making reports on people that they needed to investigate. So instead of writing Tuttle, the fly fell into the typewriter and it made it spell Buttle. So they went to this guy Buttle's house and
they're convinced he knew and they had to get it out of him.
Yeah.
Fucked
him up. Yeah.
Images of his mother. Bobby De Niro comes crashing through a wall at once.
He's Tuttle.
Yeah,
he's the guy they wanted.
He's the one.
Yeah.
But at the end, right, and the samurai guy, it's actually the scalpel that they've been in his head with.
Yeah.
Kind of sick.
Yeah, I'll say.
Kind of sick. What's the most recent thing you've been working on in that...
film?
Line of art, yeah.
Oh, I haven't. It's been next month. It'll be 3 years since I've set foot on a movie set.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of diving back in to movies just because I love the medium. You know?
Yeah.
I'm a film guy. I'm a total film geek.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I love watching movies and being part of them in some way. But I haven't done anything in the film business for the last 3 years. So I got really, you know... you'd say disgruntled It's a brutal business, thankless business, and
you think it's always been that way, or is it worse?
I don't know how. I've discussed this with many like film crew guys over the years. We can't figure out who came up with this idea that you work 18-hour fucking day.
Yeah.
Every other kind of business, it's like you go to work, you do your time, you go home. It's like, you know, it's like a reasonable amount of time. On a film set or on a film shoot, you know what time you have to be at work, and you never know what time you're going to get home.
Right.
And that can be a bitch. It's like most relationships fail. I mean, all my friends are, you know, almost all of them anyway, are divorced multiple times. It's a relationship you're not going to keep any kind of relationship going if you're working that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a fucked up deal. But you get paid well. Right. That's the trade-off, you know. So.
Yeah, I did entertainment advertising, you know, one-sheets, posters, you know, point-of-purchase displays for years. And it was the same on the other end. I worked for the agencies that worked directly for the studios to promote it, you know. And you just never know when you're going home when you hang your hat up, you know.
Yeah.
It was the same thing on our end or any of the satellite businesses that are around the film industry.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's like this frantic pacing. You know,
yeah. I've known characters in the advertising end, like the guy you were describing in the Bale rant, whatever his name was. We had one guy, we called him Cujo, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the caricature artists at the office drew an illustration of this guy where his head's just purple, you know, big veins exploding, frothing, and that was no exaggeration.
Right. truth through art. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear some music.
冬型気圧配置が強まって日本海側では大雪になっておりますが、今後雪の量はさらに増える恐れがあって警戒が必要です。太平洋の各地は大体晴れますが、山沿いではやはり雪のちらつくところが多いでしょう。まず雨や雪の降っているところからご覧ください。九州の南部や南西諸島を除いてほとんどのところで雪で、新潟市内では今朝5時までに雪の量が10センチ積もっています。気象衛星ひまわりの雲の動きです。日本付近の上空をジェット気流に伴う細長い雲が次々に通過していきますが、このジェット気流の下には日本海から、それから沿海州の海岸線から水上の雲がびっしり並んでいます。で、天気図を重ねますと、日本列島の東側では大きな低圧、そして西側には大陸の強い高気圧があって、日本付近の気圧配置は西高東低の冬型です。で、大陸の奥地にある高気圧の中心の湿度は1068ミリバール、沿海州北部の上空では氷点下45度の非常に冷たい空気の塊があって、これから日本列島に流れ込んでくるところです。で、今日は日本海側では雨や雪のところが多い見込みですが、日本海方面で等圧線が少し袋状に曲がったところから、平野部に雪の量が多い里雪タイプになりそうです。一方、太平洋側の各地は大体晴れる見込みですが、季節が強い九州の南部や
my machine's old. But
I had Verizon service for a while down here, but I had to stand in just a certain spot to get reception.
And that was wireless, right?
So,
Watt for Pedro show, we're back. Heard something brand new from this great band, Tokyo Kota. Hanahum. I got to play with them when I first... when I did that tour a couple years ago when I started meeting these younger people. And new album they got, and song Diamond Kujitsu Palace song. And it's a trippy record, man. It's really good. And then something from RO4 called Cookbook. 2010 by Contagious Orgasm. And S's Panties by Third Organ. In a month I'm going to go take the Light Guys on tour, West Coast thing.
Cool.
8 gigs. Last May was the first time they came, and it was New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Detroit. So this time, West Side. And they're going to go to Chicago first and record. But then they've asked me to tour with them in their land in October. With Tom and Raoul. Tom and Raoul right now, by the way, are in Europe with Lou Barlow. They come back soon. And we're going to do all four of the big islands. Hokkaido Kyushu and Shikoku, besides Honshu. Yeah, so maybe 3 weeks in October. And that's where I'll be playing the Third Opera live for people. It looks like I'm going to have time in June to go to New York and mix. Although there's 25 Stooges gigs lined up for this year. So I'm going to be very busy with that. But also time for Missing Man. I played last week the last Second Man gig for a while. But I'm going to record something with them. Sky Saxon's wife asked me to do a song for a tribute record. You know Sky Saxon? He had a band called The Seeds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
60s band. Mm-hmm. And big organ. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good with
Push
Pete.
Too Hard.
That was their big hit. Yeah. Maybe 66 or something.
Big organ and Pushing Too Hard?
You don't remember that song? I think it had like one part.
Yeah.
Some wild guitar in there too. Ding, 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 ding. There were several lineups, but the first one was pretty classic. And he was the kind of character. He went to punk gigs and stuff. He ended up, though, I think he died in Austin last year. But he was a trippy guy. He got involved with some cat. And what was this man's name? Yod? Father Yod? You know about this?
No.
Yeah, he ended up dying in a hang gliding accident, I think. But he was one of these kind of guru type. You never heard of Father Yod? Yeah, in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a lot of these kind of things. They even made some albums. Father Yod, kind of like a religious collective or something. He was part of the stuff like that. So no sailing, Skipper Jeff. We had seas. You know, I was paddling Thursday. I went out and it turned rough. I didn't go into the open sea. It was rough inside the harbor. I got soaked.
What time?
Like when I go. You know. Yeah, actually, I heard the raft guy came by the bay raft and he said it was glass about 5. Uh-huh. But by almost 6 o'clock, he said it turned, and there was guys going out fishing. You know, there's kayak scoops you can get now.
Yeah, yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
Little miniature, $8 ones.
Pretty elaborate.
One year that raft broke up and drifted into our marina and butt up against a
large marsh on a big barge.
Yeah. It broke off the mooring. Well, it was unmanned. They hadn't paid rent. They couldn't do anything anymore.
Yeah, my buddy Paul Strasser runs the big barges.
Okay.
New biz.
Yeah.
In those days, I think it was Bill's, right? Mm. Bill's Bay or something?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that thing. It gets in the way of my tacking.
Well, there's two of them.
It's right in the middle of my fairway.
There's two of them. There's one on the Long Beach side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, it was all... It's kind of like lighthouse keeper job.
They were kind of like pirates in a way, the old guys, because they had their little spot there, their mooring, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. No one, they were kind of forgotten. They hadn't paid their lease in years, I think. So
it was many years.
They got caught finally. So
they abandoned it, but then it broke loose.
Yeah, I got the old life ring hanging in my backyard.
I think there should be gigs on that thing at night. Be a great place to have a band play in the middle of the outer harbor there. You're not going to bug anyone with noise. Have boats cruise up and rock out all night.
Wow.
But what do you do? Where do you put your audience? In kayaks?
It's up to them to get there.
Getting out of a kayak on that thing would be kind of tough.
Yeah.
You'd have to crawl on your belly. You know, you can't be standing up. And then, you know, I don't know about fishing in the harbor either. I don't.
There's a couple spots where there's big halibut holes, but I wouldn't want to eat
them. Yeah, but they're probably like foul.
They glow in the dark.
All the heavy metals and shit that was sinking to the bottom, getting gobbled up by the fish.
It's hard when I have to see the sea lions and the dolphins. I can imagine these bottom fish.
Yeah.
With the croakers, it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
We did some lobster hooping off the oil islands at night one time because it was too rough to go outside. I was on a sport fisher, and the stuff we pulled up, snails, with a little rays, but no lobsters. But everything just was like coated with this,
weird
gray brown slime.
Oh, really? You know. Yikes!
Yeah.
So, you know, catch and release maybe, but not chowing it.
Yeah, and put these fish on the decks and just big old bugs start coming out their gills. It's kind of sick.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
It's like Simpsons kind of shit, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I've caught
it. Chris Domselich wrote me, he's living up in Oregon, and a lot of the pelicans didn't come down. They're staying up there. But there's still a die-off, maybe 100 of them. They don't really know why. It was a story in the LA Times yesterday about it. I've been seeing them acting kind of strange.
You've been getting some great pictures of them.
I mean, there's some, you know, it's mating things, so they splash for each other. But these ones that just sit like they're all beat up. All these ones that they found that are dying, it's all from starvation.
Yeah.
So this is what happens. They get all weak and they don't move. Mm-hmm. They're so heavy. It takes a lot of energy. That's why they fly the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens sometimes, they're talking about possibilities. Sometimes the fish just go lower in the water, the whole ecosystem. Sometimes there's these things called algae blooms.
Yeah.
And you have them, and they start killing off the little fish. And so these guys, if it's too deep, the pelicans can't go for them.
So, I also read after that big rainstorm they were suffering from exposure, hypothermia.
Well, winds is really hard on them too. They can't really fly in really strong wind, and they're a lot more fragile than you think. Mm-hmm. They look so strong.
There was one wandering in the middle of 22nd Street a couple of days ago. I'm like, whoa.
It's weird to see them over land. Like, they're always out by the water.
That means there's some problem. They're disoriented, and they might be all weak in their mind. Especially you don't see bands on them.
Mm.
So that they're not used to people. So why would they be in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
So some of them let me come really close on them, which they don't usually do.
Mm.
Wouldn't let me get within a foot of his face. He just looked me right in the eye. Yeah. So, and I was wondering if he was hurt.
Yeah.
After I read this article, now we got a hospital here in Pedro.
Yeah, right.
And it's all full.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, by the school and where you teach. How far along are they?
They're almost done with all the demo stuff. They're getting it all laid out now. They haven't started any construction.
Right,
there's
a
road that's built now.
And some construction bungalows.
Yep, on the top, like the office.
I saw them bringing those things up. You know what I just saw put in? First time since, you know, about the post office. It was a WPA program, and they have a worker mule in there.
Mm, yeah.
Well, the first worker mule since those days, kind of like 70 years in a labor town. Slobodan Dmitriev, you know him?
He
takes a lot of pictures of working people and stuff. They had him do a mural up on 7th Street. We'll be right back. What from Pedro Show? Yeah, a bass player friend of mine up in Seattle, Masa, has a band called Hot Kai. We heard In the Shadow of Light, the new thing he's got going. Then we heard We Are Goop by Chum Out. You know what Chum is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what they were selling off that Bay Ref. And then Space by Stefan Tiefenbacher. He lost his arm. A sax player, but he's still playing.
Wow.
One arm sax. Man. Big respect to him.
Yeah.
Said music really helped him. He thought it was over. And he said, fuck it, I'm going to keep going.
Wow.
And then Ich Bin So Isle by Strongt. Which is probably some, I don't know, Flemish, Dutch cuss words. I don't know. Slang. Because the tune is like a toilet flushing. Right. Yeah. Can imagine. We're at the end of the first hour, February 6, 2010. Watt for Beaver Show, type for hour two. February 6, 2010, part two. Watt from Pedro Show, hour two.
Bye.
Fenway secure?
It's still so for now. I don't think it's on the chopping block.
Yeah.
But most of the stadiums I've been to have been knocked down, like the King Dome, Jack Murphy,
Candlestick. Wrigley?
The Candlestick ain't knocked down, but they don't play there. They play at
Precon.
Here, we're back on here. Started the second hour off with some more stuff from Japan. Tenko, she's playing in New York City, but it's on the 11th. I wish I could go out there. Very rare. She hasn't played in the U.S. in a long time. And a place called Roulette, Bob Teagan told me. And but maybe they do a online thing, or he was telling me, so maybe, yeah, like a web stream thing, so maybe like virtually be at the gig. But it's Thursday, and we heard at the top of Mount Brocken, then we heard something from a band, kind of traditional, or like using flutes and stuff, and little drums, not synthesizers, called Wakine, and the song's called Bright as a Star. Then we heard Jelly Roll, by a band called Emergency over there. And then Neospace by Clinicore, off their new album. That's I played with them in Tokyo. That's actually the little brother of the boss of Light, Nobuyuki's brother. Who did I see Tuesday? I saw Nels Klein in Norton Wisdom in Long Beach. They did a thing. There's a... But they gave me a DVD. I should have took some of the music, because what happened was it was an improvised thing where Nels reacted to Norton Payton, but then Norton's Payton is reacting to Nels' music. Huh.
So it's like, who's the lead man?
Yeah, right, right.
Music is prophecy. Its styles and economic organization are ahead of the rest of society because it explores much faster than material reality can the entire range of possibilities in a given code. It makes audible the new world that will gradually become visible. It's not only the image of things, but the transcending of the everyday, the herald of the future. For this reason, musicians, even when officially recognized, are dangerous, disturbing and subversive. For this reason, it is impossible to separate their history from that of repression and surveillance. Jacques Attali.
Cheese, I want it.
Watt from Pedro show. We just heard Hey Sandy from Charamelos. We're going to play with them. Not Sacramento, but from near there. And we're going to play Sacramento, and so they're going to play with us. And before that, we had Miss Battles by the Fucking Bastards. That's a great name. And then I Might Be Drinking by Sarah McHugh and the Everyman. And Irritating Guy Makes a Song by Puff Handy. And started off with Music is Prophecy by Sybil Kalf. And Brother Matt, we're ready for you to engage us in some spin cycle.
Here we go.
Hey, Brother Matt, thanks so much for your installment of the Spin Cycle and what was involved with your creative.
This is kind of a
instigation, inspiration, motivation.
Like a fat, stony, rainy, kind of a wobbly day.
Yeah.
With hip hop infusion.
Okay.
It happens.
Like a love story.
Yeah. Okay, it's the end of the second hour, February 6, 2010, Watt for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. February 6, 2010, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro show. Started off the third hour with Bruce Leitcher doing Owens Valley drive-in music, part one. Some stuff from Arizona. That's where he's out driving around. And, he wanted music for these drives. And so he sent me the first installment. He's on a mission to create sounds for the ride. And then we heard Flat Side Negative by Shark Pants here, Arizona 2, I think Tucson. I'm going to play with them next month in Phoenix. They played in Pedro. Mm. Remember after the show, one of the shows a couple of weeks ago? I went straight to Raul, the Peck Manor, where Raul lives. There was a gig there. And that's who they were playing.
Oh,
and
cool.
Kid Kevin. By the way, next week we're going to have Kid Kevin and Craig Ibarra by because... Cool. Actually, the week after is the big gig at Harold's for the album release party for a Reactionary Tribute album. Yeah. And they're going to discuss it and all the people playing and stuff. That were part of it to recreate those 10 Reactionary songs from 30 years ago. No, 31 years ago now. And I guess Reactionaries was the first Pedro punk band. Thank you.
everybody. This is the bassist, Agnes Steck, better known to everybody else as Chris Skroger, the painter, drawer, writer. Your host, Mike Watt, has kindly asked me to recite another one of my poems for him to play on the Watt from Pedro show. This one happens to be a true story. About a week and a half ago, I was rebuilding my deck on the back of my house here in Austin, Texas, and I smashed my thumb with a hammer real good. Made a big old mess out of it. So I decided it needed to be commemorated with a poem. The title of this one is Annoyed, an Ode, Left Yellow Broccoli Thumb. Toiling upon that deck, a modest wooden upthrust held by galvanized steel points pinned through, tweezed tempered trees in fugues inclined geometrically toward my abode. So well worn are these knees, supplicant to the task, a stooped and striving spine delivered constructive blows with which to build our loft, our happy gangplank. Fantastic, an artificial land for which my will lifts her up from a soiled repetition of tinkering amidst board and nail and bond and screw and sand, arriving anew as a house-like replica upon which we shall stand and gain vantage over a dioramic panorama of a miniature pagan jungle and pond, a greening never planned, that by careful measure this uniquely leveled treasure juts like angled trees from our domicile. So with a small fortune squeezed into prominence to deliver us dear reveries protected from the zephyrs, sun and deluge alike, our perch, should we desire to serve and uplift a dance or dinner or candlelight, was willed for my last 3 days of expense, of sinew and coin and sweat, then urgent blood. So good is this task, and warmer will be our home, for a nearing completion of this self-imposed construct of tree fragments and earthen splinters, that on the third day of my toil, upon that last board, and in the 11th hour of wearing that cold, a breakthrough to the finish, a merest hammer stroke away from declaring my mountain climbed, the grape of my left opposable was open split, and from that corporeal chasm, dark blood was spit, in mind-wrenching light, a beast from within did cry, as between the hammer and anvil of my chore did come, 1/10 of my digital tools, at last I'd spent my thumb. Given in sacrifice to the task, waylaid by a vanity, as nearing completion I did ask from luck to answer me, my marvel at creation these 3 days to be pain-free, as I gloated through the sweat and mire upon my brow, and laughed to conspire with my genius that did willingly create not only my middle-aged treehouse, but under no thought I did paint. In this my December drear, Pablo Picasso would be so proud.
Amidst an array of stunning Japanese photos, a picture of my friend's shoe in the water and rocks shot downward, a sneaker, jeans. My mind wanders from the east and I ponder the difference between what Americans called middle age in the last generation and how it has evolved in this one. My friend with the shoe and I are middle aged, and I only wear sneakers and jeans as well. Are we clinging to a youth we are frightened to dismount? I don't think so. Putting on a sneaker is not a choice, not trying to act young. It doesn't even occur to me, and I don't think it even occurs to him to put on anything else. That's a profound change from 51-year-olds and 47-year-olds in the 1960s and the 1970s to now. Painters don't lose their passion when they get a little older. Makers of film don't lose their passion when they get a little older. The Beats sure as hell didn't lose their passion when they got a little older. So musicians, should we curl into a fetal position and compromise our souls? I'm not. And I know he didn't.
With the Three Slippers on the Bed by Universal Mind Decoder, then Annoyed, an Ode, which was a poem from Chris. Chris Kroger is Chris Kroger is an artist, a painter, but he likes to do poems too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Market Research, the French song by Tri City Thundercats. Yeah, what a title! You know It's called Market Research, and then in parentheses, the French song. It's not a mystery. It's a great song. And then Shoe in the Water by Tom Nichol, another poem. God, he was just in a car wreck.
Ooh.
And the car was bashed, and he got hurt. But not permanent hurt, but some bad, took some blows up in Seattle. So I hope you heal up, Tom. And then Dummy Discards a Heart by Deerhoof. Deerhoof is going to open up for Plastic Ono Band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow. It's going to be February 23rd at the Fox Theater in Oakland. And I'm going to take the JetBlue up there to see it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's all restored now.
I mean,
now.
She's 76 years old.
Wow.
Seems like... Yeah, I wonder if people are going to give her shit, because it seems like in her history, people have always wanted to load on her.
Well, they blame her for the breakup of the Beatles.
Oh, that's so right.
That's never been forgiven. Yeah. Whether it's true or not, that's, you know, it's out in the public mind sphere.
I think John and Paul were just, you know, it was time to do other stuff. Yeah, right. They spent a lot of time together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't see...
Well, you know, relationship could factor in, but, you know, it's like, it's also personal choices that people make. You never know what the public's going to do with...
Yeah, they all have developed significant others by that time. It got complicated who's going to be
at the
session.
I think Paul had his wife in the Wings band.
Linda Eastman.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's interesting, you know, she still wants to make a band and play gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would like to be 76 and playing.
Wow.
I'm going to try.
She's a year older than my mom. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Something, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, she's a...
There's that whole debate.
Shuka told me last year in Tokyo they did a gig. She came out there in hot pants.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gotta live.
I'm trying to get a visual of a 76-year-old in hot pants.
Okay. She's got good care of herself. And you know, get a lot of wealth like that and everything. You get a nice supply of human growth hormone to help.
You know what? Yeah, but even if it ain't, maybe it's like, fuck it anyway. Elvin Jones, you know, he was looking good in his 70s when I saw him playing. So.
Uh-huh.
I know women are held up to a little kind of different standard.
Right.
So maybe that's why she did put on the hot pants.
Right, exactly. Y'all, she's always been kind of
provocative.
Against the grain.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right, she was an artist of her own before she met
Right. Yeah. She had her own band even before she was with Lennon.
That's right. So here's some, let's play some more music. Here's a band called Orgasm Denial. One from the B-Row Show.
I'm
a question on everybody's lips.
So depressed.
Is what?
So
little spells, you don't prevent on the shelf. And that push yourself by a gear, but I hear you throw me out of it. Oh, you found a quiet nap. Well, me and the little spells, you don't prevent on the shelf. And that push yourself by a gear, but I hear you throw me out of it. Oh, you found a quiet nap. Well, me and the little spells. I'm lips is what is an emo and how can I be one? If you're emo, do you have to be gay or bisexual?
Hey man, what's that on my face, cake? Yeah, they call me cake face. I was at Chuck E. Cheese at a party. Things got crazy, then the balls got rowdy. I was throwing balls, I was kicking game machines. They came out, they said, you're acting too mean, you gotta go. We're throwing you out though. I said, wait, I don't wanna go. They called the mouse, he said, get the fuck out of my house. They threw me out the door, and now I'm gone. No more return to Chuck E. Cheese. Fuck that hoe. I don't even think they use real cheese. Hey man, what was that on your lip? Is that ketchup? Yeah, let me tell you about this. I has ketchup on my lip, and it is true. I was down at McDonald's and I was eating a cheeseburger or two, cause you know they're only 99 cents if you get the double. Oh yeah,
hubble.
I was just chilling eating. When a punk walked by, he was all talking like speeding. Hit me, knocked my shit over. I said, what? He said, fuck you. I said, what? He said, shut the fuck up. I said, what? I grabbed him, I threw him, I slammed him on the floor. He was a little stronger, so he let me know what for. He punched me, he kicked me, he threw me down the stairs. Yeah, this makes sound like he's got stairs. He threw me out the door, and you'll never guess what. Manager came and said, you gotta go. Get the fuck out of here, and don't ever return. Hey man, what's that on your chin? Is that ranch? Is that ranch sauce on your chin? Yeah, man, check this out. I was just chewing at Wendy's, 99 cents, 5-piece McNuggets. Oh, I'm sorry, chicken nuggets. Everything was fine and everything was cool till I spilled my tray and it fell over the floor. Nobody even wanted to question. They were all upset. It was late at night, so they threw my ass out. Wanted a fight. I threw my milk at the door, soda at the window. Told them they could get the fuck out the city. They said, shut up. What a pity. Don't ever come in here, ever in any city. So that's why I can't go nowhere, and I just eat at home now.
Damn, man. I'm left.
Thank you.
I cut it out, I torn it. were calling. I cut it out and torn it down. This is not the calling. This is the night I'm a calling. I'm a sacrifice for all that's right. This is the night I'm a calling. I strike.
For Pedro Show. Final block of music for this edition. Started all off with the Eyeliner Makes Orgasm by Orgasm Denial. And then It's Not Fair by Foot. And then with Eduardo by Nestor Machno. These are cello players played with Carla. And I got to play stuff from her new album. The Prince of Truth. She's got a new album called The Prince of Truth. It's great. Carla Bozulich. And then Gabloretta by Kakawaka. Guys from Germany. And then The End of My Days by Celia Oh. And finally, Animal Calling, a Swiss band called Kurjakovich. And they are trippy. Some of them Swiss bands. Well, bands from all over. I like it when they trip things out and push it. Yeah. Trippy band. And that was that was just a demo. So, coming to the end of the show, any parting wisdom? Skipper Jeff?
Show up at the Reactionaries release party. Harold's Place.
The 20th. Yeah. Well, we'll probably do a show next week. In fact, we are, because Kid Kevin and Craig Abar are going to be on next week's show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that whole experience.
Very good.
And I could tell you about being in a punk band in Pedro 31, 32 years ago.
Looking forward to that.
That was interesting. Brother Twine, do you have some wisdom to impart upon listeners?
Oh, no wisdom. I could plug my website, though. For events and information in L.A. Of an unusual type, just go to twanslist.com. It's twanslist.com.
Yeah. And he's a good sifter. No lame mersh reek.
I've never been called a sifter before.
Sieve.
That motherfucker. Or sifter.
Colander.
Another for a
sifter. Colander.
Filtering your head.
That's right.
Kidney filtered. Room touch. Brother Matt?
Yeah. No words of wisdom, nothing to sell.
Okay.
Are you sure?
I think there's a nugget of wisdom buried somewhere inside that.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you all for being with me and flying on this mission. And next week, See you guys.
Right on.
February 6, 2010 edition. Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.